guys, happy Tuesday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. Guys, on today's show, there are rumors out there that we're going to get two title fights on the Sphere card. And quit being upset with me that they call it the Sphere when it's shaped like a circle. I didn't name the thing. Are those rumors accurate? And I'm going to tell you what I know. Plus, Conor McGregor has assured us he will fight Michael Chandler in 2024. And go figure, John Jones has some legal troubles. A lot to get to today, folks. But let's begin here. Things change. Can we agree on that? Things change. You are as good as the information you have at the time. Do you guys know what a lie is? I'm just wondering that. Like, of course you do. That's rhetorical. But I bet you've never looked it up. I bet you don't actually know what a lie is. And I got to tell you, I've never looked it up either. But my mother told me what it was when I was a kid, which is to say something knowing it isn't accurate. But she used an example, like if I was to say today is Tuesday, when today is in fact Wednesday. If I think it's Tuesday, then it's not a lie. If I know it's Wednesday and I am trying to deceive you, this is literally the example that she gave. And I'm sure she's spot on. I'm sure that we would all understand that. But I do see people get called out and go, well, he said that he would never do this, and he goes back on it. I even see that in political season. They'll use that against somebody. He's a flip-flopper. Listen to what he said here versus what he said here. I like a guy like that. I like a person that will change their mind and change their opinion if they're confronted with evidence they did not previously have. Okay. Now, I tell you that because something is going on. Like the suggestion that Khabib would fight again. Now, I was light on this idea, but when we were having fun, you guys will remember this, you were as guilty as I was, every 20 minutes leading into UFC 300, we were making a different guess, and they were all insane. They were all of them, but that was the information that we had. We were told it was going to be a jaw-dropping moment, just the announcement. We were told that things were being working on that we never could have imagined. And it's like, well, just to fit that criteria, you got to get pretty crazy just to fit that criteria. Okay. And amongst that was suggestions of Khabib. You might remember that Javier Mendez had made a statement. Coach Javier Mendez, Khabib's coach, made a statement that he and Khabib were working together and that Khabib never worked with him unless he was training for a fight. Now, that got taken out of context to the point that Coach Mendez even went out publicly to correct it. I was as guilty as anybody of not understanding what had come before and what had come after that. Now, I only take you down that road to let you know on my own social media, on my own text exchanges of people that I personally know that have my phone number, some took it as an offense that I would even suggest that Khabib would fight again. Khabib is a man of honor and principle, and he said he was done. And I really looked at it even at that time to say, hey, what are you talking about? Like, Khabib has done everything honorable that you could possibly do. The moment he beat Gaethje and knew in his heart he was done, he retired in that moment. He gave the belt back. That is extremely honorable. Other guys would have kept it. They'd have kept the talk, the dialogue, the sponsorships, probably could have hung onto that belt for a year. Which your sponsorship deals quite literally change whether you're champion or not. There's clauses in there. If you become champion, it escalates to this. If you lose the championship, like, it's a very common thing. There would be very built-in incentives as to why Khabib would hold onto that belt, even if he had information in his heart, and he didn't do that. And I'm only sharing all of that with you to let you know, at no point would Khabib's honor be called into question if he was to fight again. Now, guys, I will admit, I had fun at UFC 300. I had fun making these suggestions. I will also suggest for you, when the negotiation, you guys might remember this, Khabib said, "I'm done and retired." They put him in the rankings. In fact, they moved him up in the rankings. He was number two. They moved him to number one after he said, "I'm done." They did not vacate the title. When Khabib dropped that belt and handed it back, the title did not become vacant. They refused to take it. They said, "No way. No way. Hey, man, we 30-0. This is number 29. This is in the moment. You don't mean this. Think it over, right?" But I'm just reminding you of that time. And I have maintained for you that when those negotiations were going on and they were attempting to change numbers, they were changing the wrong number. The same reason that 30-0 became 29-0, it wasn't commas and zeros. It was the weight class. If they would have had one more, sat him down, really negotiated, and made it 170 pounds, you would have seen Khabib fight. Or at least, you'd have been a lot more likely. Now, that is just some inside knowledge for you. Over 95% of fighters that you see retire, they will never say, "Because I don't want to make the weight class anymore." Over 95% of fighters retire because of the weight class. That's inside info. You would have never thought that. You'd never, "Oh my gosh, yeah, I guess that day before, right? Hard battle." I assure you I'm going to tie these thoughts together. Now, there is rumors about Khabib that are going on online. And like the government is looking into him and or the gym that he has or however this goes. So I will share with you that as exaggerated and as misunderstood as a lot of those articles are, they're not unfounded. There is an issue that Khabib's having to deal with. And if you hold that thought, okay, you then have a fight that got put out. The UFC owns the content to. This fight does not go out without the UFC. The UFC very commonly releases fights. Very commonly. Big main event coming up this weekend. Got Nick Diaz in it. This is an example. Leading into the fight, they will release a Nick Diaz fight. One where he looks good. By example, they would not, when you're going into Nick Diaz fight week, which is why you release a Nick Diaz fight, to remind the world and to have this nostalgic moment, you do not release Nick Diaz versus George St. Pierre, where Nick came in second. But you might release Nick Diaz versus BJ Penn, just by example. And that would make sense to you, right? Like, I just stated the obvious for you. If you're promoting a guy, and one of your ways to promote the guy, you do not demote the guy. You don't remind people of a loss. You don't bring something back from the past that he doesn't have to deal with, which, by the way, is negative while you're trying to shine him up. I know I'm stating the obvious. I know that I am. But it's important that you nod your head yes and go, "Yeah, Jill, yeah, obviously. Okay." Well, the UFC not only released Khabib versus Conor, said to be the single greatest drawing mixed martial arts fight of all time. They not only released it, which would take 5 seconds of releasing a code and shit, they edited it. In fact, the way of editing it is they did away with the commentary. I don't know why. I don't know what artistic value that added, which, by the way, if I think about it, possibly a positive one. I'm just sure. I don't know why. I just know that it was done. I just know what could have been done in 5 seconds was not. It was taken to the kitchen and it was recooked, which is effort. It's effort. And why release that? Why release that and why release that now? What would it possibly have to do with anything? Now, you could just be entertaining people. Sure, I'll drink to that. But that would come back to my 5 second example. And it's released. This was actually recooked and repackaged. There was an effort into this. Now, we're told that Conor's coming back, which I don't know that I believe to be true. But to put out a fight that went against Conor when you don't have Khabib, If you have one guy under contract, it doesn't matter who won the fight. It doesn't matter who the bigger star is. It doesn't matter who had more of a legacy. These are all separate conversations. If you're bringing something to the marketplace, which the number one goal that you would have is to shine up the athlete, it isn't actually to monetize yourself. You have other ways to monetize this piece. That's not what you did. You released it, and by the way, you put time, and you put thought, and you put effort, and you edited it. Why? Has that ever been done before? Has that ever been done before to go against the athlete who is still under contract? And the answer is no. You don't have an example where that's ever happened before. So, as unlikely as it is that Khabib is going to return, that they finally found out what Chael's known all along, which is the number you have to do isn't the commas and the zeros, it's the weight class. It's 170. In light of all the things that we're hearing that Khabib is facing, right? You have the right to change your mind when you're confronted with new evidence. Chuck Liddell didn't plan to ever fight again. Company got sold. Things pivoted. Made his decisions, right? Just as an example. As unlikely as it is that Khabib is going to fight Conor, and no, I'm not predicting that for you, but this came out for a reason, and this was edited for a reason, and this was re-released to the world for a reason. The most watched fight that we have ever seen. Like, that's the one fight you don't need to bring us. It was the most watched fight. You're not sitting on a golden gem. You don't got Hicks and Gracie getting into a street fight with the guy from the coffee can on the beach in Brazil that somebody caught. That's not what this is. So, you also didn't do it just to do it. Here are your two options. Khabib versus Conor is more of a thought than some people realized, or, and you have the other one, but these are your two options. Khabib versus Conor, as unlikely as it might be, Khabib versus Conor is more of a topic than we knew. Things have changed. Or McGregor's not coming back. But there's not a third option. Just so you understand. This did not get released and edited first, which is unprecedented to go against the guy that's still under contract. That simply did not happen. So what was the reasoning? Is that guy not under contract? That has happened before. Is that guy not going to fight again? That has happened before. But Conor's putting out a tweet that he's going to fight Chandler this year, and the UFC is putting out a video that everybody wants to see, which goes against Conor. It wasn't an accident, and it wasn't a coincidence. Either Khabib versus Conor is being discussed to a higher level, which could be this much, by the way. That would still be higher than we're aware. Or McGregor's not coming back. Conor McGregor sends out a tweet. Conor McGregor says, just talked with Dana. Definitely going to be fighting Chandler in 2024. That's not verbatim. I changed it a little bit. Well, I sure got the point. Right? So, do you believe it's true? And if it's not true, why would it be said? That would also be relevant. I knew a con man, and he was unlike other con men. It was part of the con, as part of why it worked. But most con men will sell you on something they don't have to deal with for a meaningful period of time. Give me 50 grand today, and in 2040, oh my gosh, I'm going to really turn this into something. It's a harder one to get. People like immediate gratification. It doesn't usually work in cons. But when it does work, you don't have to deal with anything for a meaningful amount of time. You actually might turn that 50 grand into something by 2040. The guy might be deceased by 2040. And I knew a con man and he would do it tomorrow. Hey, give me 80 grand today. I will get you back 87 grand tomorrow. And I would always think, like, that's not much time. And when he would run the con, I didn't have to just defeat him. Right, you got friends, you don't want to tell them no when they're asking for money. I didn't have to just defeat him. He would always put a clock on it. Like, his way of urging me is he put an expiration on him? I gotta have this by today at 5. It's like, oh, okay, great. Like, it has to be today at 5. My whole life is gonna change if I don't have this today at 5. It's like, okay, great. So, to maintain our friendship and not have an awkward conversation, I just have to return this voicemail at 5:01. I will have taken myself out of your own criteria. And I'm just sharing for you, like, it's not generally done that way. So when McGregor says I'm going to be fighting in 2024, like, he didn't buy himself a lot of time. And you can look at it and go, well, you have 5.5 months. Well, and not really. Not really, you don't. There is one pay-per-view left on the calendar, and it happens to be the last one. It does happen to be in December, and it's targeted for T-Mobile, but that is the only one on the calendar that does not have a targeted main event. So it's not as though there's no hope, but it sure does narrow hope. It sure does change it. And there's a number of reasons why Conor's next fight will be in Las Vegas. But there's a number of reasons that you might not understand. With canceling an event and what that's actually a legal word as opposed to restructuring, to postpone it. It would depend what state you're in. But there is a high motivation to go ahead and just do his next fight in Las Vegas. So things are looking good, right? Like things seem to be trending towards McGregor. But first off, for the statement to be true, you're banking on two things. You're banking that he's going to fight Chandler. That Chandler doesn't go and do something different. That it will be Conor versus Chandler. For the tweet to be, right, if you want to be a literalist, if you want to be a real prick about this, but it's the point of the conversation. First off, it's got to be Chandler. And second off, it's got to be 2024. And not only do I not believe it's true, I don't believe either of the two are true. I think that it has two falsities within one tweet. I'm not convinced he talked to Dana, but I'll let that one go. Now, the reason I want to address it is Conor has only ever sold one thing. And when I use that term, sell, when Conor was building the character and building the gimmick, when he's moving pay-per-views, he's moving t-shirts off the shelf, when he was building that up, there was many things that were him with the volume up, right? There was many things that was Money Mac on steroids. But the one ingredient that he slipped in was power. He always sold power. And he sold it so well that people in our industry believed it. People would report on it. I would actually watch guys in the suit holding the stick talk about, well, Conor's so powerful, he can get, and they'd fill in the blank. But that was the one thing that he didn't actually have. And it was one of the things that made the gimmick and character work so well. When Conor would show up late, he'd hold up a $50,000 watch and say, I got a watch, I got plenty of watches, nobody tells me where to be. When he was doing these things, as annoying as they might have been, it was a very important piece of the character and the gimmick. And Conor began to manipulate that over time. And like so many other things, once you say them enough times, they start to be true, right? All the truth is a lie told so many times that people stopped arguing with it. So the one thing that is hanging in Conor's balance now, and it was getting slippery for a minute there. I mean, he was starting to have to really negotiate with the organization just to get booked for the Chandler fight. And before we go down that long and boring road, the one thing that he still got to cling to power is Michael Chandler not taking another fight. The one thing that would cut or put a little bit of a hole in the boat, this could be patched very easily, but the one thing that would put a hole in the boat is if Chandler goes and takes another fight. Connor putting out a tweet, 2024, talk to Dana, it's you and me, Mike. And Mike going, yeah, man, I talked to Dana and I had a little bit of a better conversation. I'll see y'all at the Sphere. All of a sudden you go, whoa, hey, wait a minute. You're not listening to Connor? You're not doing what Connor says? Connor's told you to wait for 2 years and you did like a good little boy. Connor's telling you to wait upwards of 5.5 months. You're not going to do that like a good little boy. You're not going to follow the weight class that Connor picked. You're not going to go the amount of rounds. I mean, I'm just sharing with you, right? Like it's all part of the gimmick. So Chandler had come out a week ago and said that he was offered a world title fight. So if Connor was to then get an announcement with Chandler, be very good. Connor could just come out and say, I thought you were fighting for a world title. Like, right, with the announcement that you will be fighting, I thought you had a world title fight. Showing I trump world title fight, I trump everything, just for example. And it's why the tweet's interesting. No, I don't believe that it's true. There would be no reason to believe that it's true. There just simply aren't any dates left. That's not how a fight announcement is done. Had there been a fight that was agreed to our understanding, there's a contingency on an extension of a contract. Oh, and by the way, when's the last time you've ever heard of a major fight announcement by the UFC that wasn't done by the UFC? So there's not a lot here to grasp to. But there is a ploy, and there is the image of power. And should Michael wait? Should he go for this? And I wouldn't fault them, right? Like, it's very hard to talk about this topic without prodding Chandler. There's no right answer. Like, there truly is no right answer. At the end of the day, had Chandler just taken a regular schedule, one, he'd probably be retired by now. You're going on 2 years at three fights a year. We're not quite at 2 years, so let's shorten that and just call it five fights. I don't believe that you, the audience, believes Chandler has five more fights in the UFC. So let's call it five. He'd likely be retired. And the dollars definitely don't make sense. There'll be one bigger payday, but had he had five other fights, it would greatly eclipse the payday. And I'm not giving Chandler a hard time. These are all things that Chandler has to lay in bed every night and think about, right? And then make his decision. It's a very tough spot that Chandler's in. Whatever he does, people like me are going to take the opposite side. You have to, or there's no conversation, right? I mean, I'm just sharing for you. But it's an interesting moment. And the feint and the perception of power is an important thing. And moreover, you do not want to reveal that you don't have it. So you can wait till December. You can find out that's already got a card penciled in. You try to get some business going on the Sphere. You respond to Dustin Poirier. Allegedly, you possibly even could pass over a title fight if that information was true. But when all of that is said and done, are you assured Conor McGregor? No. Of course not. I do not like this spot for John Jones. You guys read about this, that John is being charged with assault. Verbally assaulting, but he's being charged nonetheless. And I want to say there was like two offenses. That would be a nuisance, right? I mean, more than anything, that's going to be a nuisance. But this is a tough one for me. Now, John in his version of the story said he was celebrating, code for drinking. He was taking a nap, code for, I don't really want to be bothered. And I think we all understand that, right? I mean, we would all understand if somebody comes to your house and they're banging on the door and you're in the middle of the day and you got to jump up and you got to go do this drug test. And that's all part of it. I'm not offering you an excuse. It just sounds like they're both kind of saying the same thing. Like John is openly telling you this wasn't my friendliest version of myself. And John had also got in front of this story. This was a meaningful amount of time ago, guys. This is 5 or 6 months ago. And John had got in front of the story to let people know, hey, time out. There was two people that came to my house, a man and a woman. And it's relevant. It's very relevant to John's point because he's saying there was a witness at all times. Secondly, he said, I got woken up from a nap and I was in the middle of celebrating my birthday. He's admitting that this was an inconvenience, that he wasn't being his best version. And then he happens to have security cameras. So as they left, as the testers left, there was John saying his goodbye. And I think it was a hug. It was a hug or it was a pat on the back, but there was something that was friendly and endearing. And John had put this out. Like, he let everybody know, hey, this gal's upset. She's even talking about filing a complaint. She's even talking about authorities. Let me inform you. I'm a little groggy. I'm not thrilled that they're there. Oh, by the way, it did end well. And haven't we all been in a spot like that before where we're like, not the best version of us comes out? So then you want to run it back. You don't want that person to leave with that thought of you. Or you realize, I was wrong. I was a jerk. So then you try to fix it by being overly nice. I probably just described something that happens every week of your life, right? Okay, so when the gal had raised an issue and she first went to USADA and USADA said, hey, and by the way, guys, I always say USADA. That's like Coke soft drink. I don't know who the testing agents were, and I don't know if it had changed hands. But to just use that vernacular and finish with my thought, the head of the agency said, hey, wait, don't go to the police with this. We've got a complaint. Don't do that. We got a witness. We got this guy. Let us look into this. Give us a minute to digest this. Like, we have several pieces of adjudication authority that we can use, but it all goes out if you go to the police. Don't do that. And she did. Now, I'm sharing with you, that's a tough one for me. The pool is guys that agree, and they agree to do certain things. They agree to give up certain rights, for example. So the agents came, the agents did what they did, but there is a significant difference, guys, in being a jerk and being a criminal. There's a significant difference in being rude and committing a crime. And it's annoying for me to have to read this about John and read that he's got to deal with this. It's annoying for me, even if not the municipality that I live in. I can't. Well, I'm a taxpayer and I can't even claim that, right? This is over New Mexico. But it's annoying to me that on a double hit misdemeanor, where there are no witnesses, right? There's a witness there, but they're not supporting the claim. There isn't video cameras of everything, but there is video surveillance and it doesn't support the claim. It seems like a tough one. And it still took those guys 4, 5, 6, whatever long this is, to make a decision, even in this case, what took you so long? Do you believe this happened or not? Do you have any evidence that it happened? Yes or no? And as you're reading the statutes, do you see any violation of the law or not? And I could live with that answer, by the way. I might not like it. I might be annoyed. But it took you 4 months? All right. So, in a situation like that, I got to just tell you, like, times are very different now than when I grew up. And I don't want to be that older guy that's going, oh, back in my day, we walked uphill to school both ways, and all we had was a stick and a rock. I don't want to try to do that. I try to always stay current. But there is a significant difference in where we are now as a society versus when I was growing up. That's true. When I was growing up, the gold standard for reality is what happened. It did not matter if you were with your parents. It didn't matter if you were with a teacher, a principal, a coach. Any level of authority on any level of infraction. What happened? And we're going to break that down and we're going to deduce that. And once we do, once we find out what happened, that is going to be reality. The gold standard. But now the gold standard of reality is emotion. It will not be what happened. The question is, how did it make you feel? So you end up in one of these weird spots. Did John touch anybody? Did he threaten to touch it? Did he try to touch anybody? Like, I'm not saying the baseball bat didn't hit him. I said he grabbed the bat, he pulled it back. Where did any of those things happen? Did he do anything? And the answer that we've been told thus far, and no different from the New Mexico Police Department, is no. Not only did he not do that, he's not even accused of doing that. He's not even suspected of doing that. We're not even going their direction of did he do anything. Okay, so it's something he said? And by the way, no, that turned out to not be the case either. It wasn't something that was said. It was the tone in which he said it. And I go, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Really? You thought I was rude? I kind of thought I was too. I tried to make up for it, and here's what I did. We spent an hour together. To the point that I felt like I succeeded when we parted with hugs. You came here for a blood and urine sample and some paperwork. I gave you, without resistance, blood, urine sample, and filled out your paperwork. There was something within the tone, within the mannerisms. You understand that you're on my property, right? Like, you understand that while we need to be civil and I have entered this pool, we're not on equal ground. I'm not in your office. I didn't elect to do this. I didn't know what time this was going to be. You came to my property. So the way that I'm acting, goodness sakes, give me a little bit of grace. And it just seems like a colossally difficult situation. And a standard procedure anytime two people are at work, a standard procedure, and you guys would understand this, it would then go to bosses. If somebody from an opposing company, while you're at work, not when you're the customer, you could tell your boss, hey, this happened and I didn't like it. And the boss could call that boss and they talk and get it worked out, right? I mean, this is standardly how this was done. And the way it's reported, she went to her own authorities, which was the testing agency, which may or may not be called USADA. And they told her, do not go to the police. We have, wait, give us some time. Let us look at this. And she did the opposite. And, you know, you end up in such a slippery slope where you must believe the victim is like, well, yeah, but in the meantime of doing that, I don't want that person coming to my house. If there's something about me not having a t-shirt on while I'm at home taking a nap on my account, if there's something about the attitude that I had, if there was something that I couldn't work out and the hug at the end didn't solve this, if there's something about you coming to do three things, blood, urine, paperwork, I gave you blood, urine, paperwork while being annoyed openly and admitted, but if you can't, I can't let you in my house. And that would be for my house. Like if that's going on with John, when I go to the door and I look through the peephole, I mean, aside from my urine being nuclear anyway, but when I look through the people, I'm not going to want that person in my house, and I'm going to have very good reason. And it's not going to be a matter of I'm in the pool and they get to do anything they want. No, you don't. You don't get to bring somebody that does this no different than had John done something. No tester is going to want to go to John's house. They're going to draw the short straw and go, no, hey, we're all paid the same. Call somebody else. No, you're going to want time and a half. You're going to want hazard pay. It's a very realistic thing, no matter how silly that I'm being. But it is a big deal. And it's disappointing to me, just as a human being, food for thought, that the gold standard of reality used to be what happened. And now it's not what happened. It's how did it make you feel? That's not right. The Olympics are well underway, and I can't help but think the journey it must take to become an Olympian. It's never done alone, guys. These athletes have lifelong coaches, training partners, and the best support system in the world. And if you're looking for that same championship level e-commerce store, you need Shopify in your corner. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the we just hit $1 million stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're auctioning autographed apparel or selling custom t-shirts, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you are selling, Shopify has got your back. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading e-commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort. Thanks to Shopify's magic, your AI-powered all-star. No matter how big you grow, you don't have to feel overwhelmed by the demand. Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level with ease. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/chale. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/chale right now to grow your business no matter what stage you are in. Shopify.com/chale. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, guys, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. Guys, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They don't have retail stores or salespeople. Instead, they deliver premium phone plans directly to you. I haven't skipped a beat using Mint Mobile services. I have great service even when I'm traveling, all for less than 70% of what I was paying before. Listen to Uncle Chale and say bye-bye to overpriced wireless plans, insanely high monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for just $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, guys, simply go to mintmobile.com/chale. That's mintmobile.com/chale. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/chale. $45 upfront payment required. That's equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Dana White sent out a tweet, said to the effect, wouldn't it be great to have the BMF title fight at the Sphere? It was something to that effect. Why? What does that mean? And I feel like people aren't picking up on this enough. I got a call from Ian Parker right away. And we start discussing it and digging in. And hey, what do you think that means? Now, I feel that a very obvious guess would be that Ilya Topuria is going to get his way. And they're going to put up Max's BMF title simultaneously with the featherweight title. And that could be. But you're dealing with a blackjack player who's not going to split aces. I do not believe that you'd send out a tweet and build or put any attention or effort into a fight for a title that is already a fight for a title. I just don't believe that. So, what could it mean? Does it mean you don't have Max and Topuria? Now, both of those guys say that you got them. Both their managers, both of their teams, everybody has said you've got it. Aside from a press release, I will fully admit. But if you were going to do a BMF title, it would seem as though you have Max. So if we're agreeing that it's not Max and Topuria, it would seem as though you lost Topuria. So if that is true, then at what weight class would you contest the title? Now, got to go back to Ian. This was his idea. I just loved it. Charles Oliveira. Max Holloway versus Charles Oliveira for the BMF title. Does that work? Yeah, it sure does. Wow. That's a really interesting fight, in fact. Now, I was led to believe that Brian Ortega had a deal, at least verbal, in place to take on Charles Oliveira at the Spear, which, by the way, incredible contest. Love them both. But I'm still stuck on BMF and Spear. Because don't forget, it doesn't have to mean Max. I mean, like, nothing has to totally add up, right? I mean, they call it a sphere. It's shaped like a circle. Like, I mean, I don't write these things. I just bring it to you. So, okay. One thing that we do know about the BMF, much like the interim, we fiercely adhere to whatever we make up on the spot. So, it wouldn't have to be Max. I would be led to believe that it is. I would think that it's Max. I'm just sharing for you. If everything is up in the air, you could have two completely different athletes. As a matter of fact, when I talk about we don't fully know what the rules are and how we're going to do everything, like on Mexican Independence Day, which is being held in America, do you have to have a Mexican athlete in your main event? Does it need to be featured? Does it need to be a title fight? And I think as you start to look at it, you go, no, it doesn't have to be any of those things. Like, we can still celebrate it. We can still all come out and say, oh, okay, you've got me there, but would you want one? And if you do want one, how do you just make that happen? Right? How do you just snap your hands and make something like that happen? It's one of the reasons when it sounds silly that I say we're going to adhere to the rules we make up on the spot. Well, we're still going here, right? That's how every rule that we have has come about. Like, it's got to happen on the move. Great example, way back, was this UFC 2? Which one was it? Was it 2, 3, 4? Hoist Gracie, Ken Shamrock. There was no judges, there was no rules, and there was no time limits. This is what they would advertise. Those three things specifically. Well, they really did mean it, but they never thought that a fight could just go forever. So they're literally during the fight, and John McCarthy's calling the fight as the referee, and they're having to yell to him, we got to stop this thing at some point. We're pay-per-view window. We got to get people home. Babysitters expected. All right, it's right. It's one of these things. And John's figuring out, and he yells to the athletes at 30 minutes. I'm stopping it. So when I tell you that we're going to adjust the rules as we go, like, that is very much true. So let's say that you do have Mexican Independence Day, and let's say that you do aren't doing that in North America, and let's say that you would like to have a Mexican fighter in your feature match. There's just not a Mexican fighter that's a champion or the number one contender. I'm making believe a scenario for you. Well, you can manufacture that by bringing one or both, and you could put up a title. It would just be the BMF. Oh, by the way, if you are going to do BMF and it doesn't stay with the lineage to Max Holloway, you could do it in the women's division. And all of a sudden, you do have something that starts to get pretty interesting, right? I don't think you guys have a problem with anything that I laid out there. And that was all rumor and gossip. Like, there's not really a foundation to it. There's just a tweet by Dana. But did you have a problem when I said that it was going to be Max versus Charles Oliveira? Did you have a problem when I said it's going to be Charles Oliveira versus Brian Ortega? Not for the BMF. Did you have a problem when I said we're going to do a women's BMF? Do you have any problem anywhere with any of that? No. It seems like a really good issue to have. And as each day goes by, This UFC at the Sphere is getting out of control. This thing is hedging on being the biggest UFC of all time. We don't even have the main event announced. There's a strong rumor, and the French commentary team put up not only the Topuria and Max, but they also put out Merab versus Sean O'Malley. So I'm just sharing for you, like, as much as you think we know what direction it's going, and it sure is a big card, we don't actually know where it's going. And it is the most talked about card. I see more headlines for the Sphere than I saw leading into UFC 300, if you're ready for that statement. This thing's getting out of control. This thing is going to be a monster. So now we're wondering if we should also do a BMF title. And without knowing the rules of BMF, understanding that doesn't have to be a lineage and it doesn't have to involve Max, it would make you think it probably does involve Max. So we're either putting up an extra title on a fight that already has a title, which could be done, but it'd be unusual. Or Topuria is no longer in the main event. Valentina the Bullet, Shevchenko. So I was really planning to spend the last 3 months over here at Bad Guy discussing Valentina Shevchenko. And I thought I could be a big asset. Like in my mind, I picture meeting Valentina for the first time. And her, like, calling out my name as she attacks me with a great big hug, thanking me for all I have done for her and her career. That is how I see myself. Now, I don't know that I have ever said anything overly nice about the Bullet, other than to tell you that is one of the most successful athletes in our sports history, either division, men or women. But then I will use it as a jumping off point to tell you how surprised I am that an athlete with that level of success can't sell a ticket. And I don't do it to be a jerk. I do it saying, hey, we've got all the ingredients here. We just have to have a willingness. And my guess is that she's a heel. My belief is that it's an act. The sweet girl doing the dance and smiling, hugging mom and sister is an act. I don't know that. I haven't met her. But I don't mean it as an insult. From one bad guy who believes he sees another, I say it as an encouragement. So when Valentina went on The Ultimate Fighter, I believed that this was going to come out. The best actors, right? When some actor has a big movie coming out and they go sit on Jimmy Kimmel's couch, they don't come out as the actor that they played. They come out as themselves, and then they talk about a role that they did. Now, it would be a lot more effective if they stayed in character. Why don't they do it? Because nobody's that good of an actor. That's why. Nobody. None of them. Not even Ed Norton can go for 20 minutes in an unscripted interview on Jimmy Kimmel's couch and be in character. And Ed Norton might be the greatest thespian on screen today. They can go in 2 and 3 minute spurts with lines that they rehearsed that somebody else wrote, putting out emotions that are make-believe, which thus makes them an actor. If you could hold the gimmick for 20 minutes unscripted, that would not mean you're an actor. That would be the person who you are. And I share that for you because it's so relevant through The Ultimate Fighter. I thought, okay, it's going to come out. I believe I'm right. I believe we have a heel. And I believe to an extent, I would make the comparison to John Jones, where the audience was seeing through and go, man, we don't want this pretend guy that you are. As a matter of fact, we want the real you, and the real cherry on top of the sundae of this statement, we're going to like it. We're going to like the real you, but you got to go first and you got to show us. And I'm just sharing with you, I thought The Ultimate Fighter would be a place for Valentina to do it. And one thing that I understood when Valentina accepted that role, and this is me. This is me, the critic from the outside that watches. I can't make too many pieces on her because they don't draw. You guys don't click on them. You don't engage. You don't go to my comments. It's one of these things where if I'm going to be making headlines, and when I say I and I'm personalizing it, I'm talking about for all media. One of the reasons the media doesn't cover, which is one, they all go hand in hand. If you can't the media, you can't get the coverage. Money follows attention. If you don't have one, you don't have the other. If you don't have both, you don't get to go to the main event. It's one of these interesting spots where there is actually a quantifiable reason that nobody in history has had more world title fights in more non-main events. Are you ready for that? That's an actual accurate stat. There has never been somebody have as many world title fights and not do them in a main event. So it's cause for study. It's cause to sit back and look at it and go, okay, what happened here? And I felt like with the admittance of the Ultimate Fighter, I was going to be covering this a lot. And a few things that I knew, and this is over here from the cheap seats on somebody that's not in a headline, and I still knew the opponent was going to be Grasso. The event was going to be Noche. I believe Noche means Independence Day, and I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. I knew the weight class. I knew the rule set. I knew the venue. And I share that with you guys because that was just shy of a year ago. And I knew all of those things. They weren't easy things to find. And I still knew them. So, as this fight's getting closer, there's no announcement that that fight is on the card. There's no headline or discussion or rumor anywhere that it's been lost. There is two fights that are rumored for the card. Neither win are this, but Alexa Grasso, our champion, does say that she's part of it. And she is now called for somebody else. And Thug Rose, who is well aware of the division, is going against Fiori and is calling for that spot. So now you got two people. You got two great contenders, which instantly would be swatted down because the announcement would come out. Now, what are you guys, crazy? We got Valentina is taking that spot. But nobody said that because Valentina is not taking the spot. And the story isn't that Valentina isn't taking the spot. The story is how, for 1 year, and through the greatest marketing vehicle that the sport has ever seen, known as the Ultimate Fighter, has Valentina vacated that spot, and nobody's discussed it. How has that never been a headline? How? I'm asking you guys, why haven't you talked about it? Why don't you care? Now, I didn't agree with the booking in the first place. I'll be the first to tell you, I was a hater on it. I'm saying, hey, man, you guys have already been booked for 10 rounds. If you haven't figured things out now, right? I wasn't excited for the first five or the second five. I'm going to have a hard time pretending to be excited for the third five. But I'm sharing with you, that's me. I was a hater. So you got to kick me out, right? I'm on a curve. You got to kick my thought out. But then the fight falls apart and nobody even discusses it. I don't know why the fight fell apart. As a matter of fact, I asked some industry insiders. And I was very hesitant to speak on it if there was an illness or an injury. If there was an illness or an injury, I'd say, hey, I wish you well, and I would get right out. But there is no statement anywhere that I can find of illness or an injury. As a matter of fact, the only thing that I could find, and this is while talking to insiders, is that the Bullet isn't going to do the fight in Las Vegas. She will only do it in her home country. Now, I'm not reporting that for you guys. Getting information on the Bullet is wildly difficult. But I do remember her saying that. I do remember her talking about that. She said, hey, listen, we went to a decision. I thought I won that fight. And I think she got the nod because of the celebration that we're having. And I'm not mad at the Bullet for saying that. I thought the Bullet won that fight. I wasn't upset when Tyson Fury said that when he took on the opponent from Ukraine. But there's really not a situation where everything's going to be perfect. I can't think of one. I never fully understood the point of demanding that we go to a country where we have never held an event is going to happen for somebody who doesn't sell tickets, right? I mean, Conor McGregor didn't get a fight in Ireland as bad as he wanted to. And he makes money. So I've never fully understood it, but I also don't know what part of the scenario could be better. You knew the date, you knew the venue, you knew the opponent, you knew the weight class, you were given the opportunity, right? Not only did you not win your last fight, you didn't win the before that. Son of a bitch, I can't think of a main event. I can't think of anybody that's ever been given a title fight where in their last two fights, they didn't win one of them. I just can't. I'm going back to 1993. I mean, it would seem as though every exception has been made. Every stone has been uncovered. And I don't know that that isn't the reason why she's not doing it. I fully admit that. That isn't even my story. My story isn't that she's not doing it. My story, my entire point and premise is, how does one of the most successful fighters of all time, how does a current reigning number one contender that just went through the greatest marketing vehicle this sport has ever, this industry has ever seen, how does that person fall out of a fight and absolutely nobody knew it? Buddy, that's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening. And get this, I just got word that you can now leave a comment on Spotify episodes. So if you're a Spotify listener and you want to give me your thoughts, you now have a place to do so. I'm going to be back with more on Friday, everybody. Until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.